find that server faster. Jesus.
See, I can edit the title from the dashboard too. I added the word live.
Okay.
I wanted to test it without like rewriting everything.
Right. We actually legitimately are live right now.
Hooray.
We did it.
Finally.
We're on the internet.
How are you doing, guys?
Good.
How are you guys doing?
Sean is not saying a word right now.
No, I'm good.
He's shy. Let him
I'm waiting my turn.
Oh.
We talk in order here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'll mute.
Okay, so we were talking about this beforehand. We wanted to share this wonderful topic with the listeners. Does everyone remember Slurms McKenzie from Futurama?
Hell yeah.
Yep.
He's great.
Yep.
If you don't know this, Futurama, there's an episode all about the soft drink Slurms or Slurm, and Slurms McKenzie. I don't know. He's this slug guy, but his thing is he's like a show person for Slurm Soda, and he never stops partying.
Right.
And it's so good. And oh man, to be fair, like the best part about him is I have to spoil the episode.
Yeah, that's probably fine.
Is it? You think it's fine? It's old enough?
Probably.
Okay. All right. For next little bit, if you want to experience like the coolest Futurama thing, not the coolest Futurama thing, but one of them, don't listen to the next little bit, but I'm going to talk about it. So when they find out about how Slurm is made and they're trying to escape, Slurm McKenzie takes off his sunglasses and he's got these bloodshot eyes and he's all, "I'm so tired of partying." So he sacrifices himself by partying so hard that he collapses the cave. And it's awesome. And Bender's all, "Party on, Slurms." And he's all, "Party on, contest winners." It's great. Slurms McKenzie, we should all try to be more like Slurms McKenzie.
I'm finding the gif of Slurms right now to put in that fourth slot in the bottom right corner of the stream.
I couldn't find it, but if you can find one, that would be great.
I found one with him taking his glasses off. That should do.
Oh, probably. Send it to me. Send it in, put it on Skype, because I'm not watching us on Twitch. I want to also see it.
Okay, give me a second.
I
want to
see this gif of the show I've watched before.
That episode is so good.
It's a really good Futurama episode.
Yeah, it's and he's talking because he's always partying with these two like bikini girls, and he's like, "Girls, you've been great to me partying these last 40 years, but this time I got to party alone. There'll be more parties for you. Don't worry." And they're like, "No, we don't want you to go." Oh, it's just so good.
It's a tragic party moment.
It's such a tragic party moment because as everyone turns to like leave, he's just like, yeah, and he turns the volume up on his stereo, and he's like, yeah, he's headbanging, and it's so sad. And then a rock falls on him.
Oh. He went out the way he lived.
Yeah, no, dude totally died as he lived.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great gift. And he's so sad. He's so sad when he takes the sunglasses off because he's just like, "I'm so tired of partying." So good. I'm just going to watch this for the rest of the show.
Oh my God. And he actually did put it there too. Best. I love it. I'm glad you did that. All right.
McKenzie's so awesome.
The best part is I can actually tie this into video games because that plot of that episode was basically used as a couple stages in DMC Devil May Cry. And we talk about video games here in the top-down perspective.
It really?
It really was.
Because I played through that game, and is there like a drink or how? What are we talking
about?
Yeah,
like chapters like 4, 5, and 6? The warehouse?
Nope.
It's early in the game, but yeah, no, yeah. That whole thing is literally in the plot of DMC Devil May Cry.
Okay. I hope it was pulled from Futurama. Futurama's great, and I miss it. I miss it so much.
Did you miss it when it came back the second time?
No, I definitely watched it.
What'd you think of the new seasons?
I really liked them. They were kept bringing the awesome. I remember in the latest season, there was one all about like the origin of Zoidberg and like why they keep him around and stuff. Like they did some really great things. So I miss Futurama. Paul was saying Jurassic Bark is super sad.
It totally is. Yeah.
All right, I'm your host this week, John. I am joined by Sean.
Yep.
And Paul.
Hi.
Paul, what'd you end up playing this week?
Oh, man. Okay, I wasn't ready for that. I played a game called Necro. Have you guys heard of this at all?
No, I have not heard of this Curse on September 25th, 2014. Curse of the
Necrodancer?
No, not Curse of the Necrodancer. It's okay. It's a game I guess is in beta or early access or something right now. The best way I could describe how you play it, it feels like a MOBA in some ways and how you like move around and stuff, and you're basically just killing dudes and getting like blood to do, like it's a hack and slash sort of game, but you play as the bad guy or whatever, and it kind of has an overlordish feel to it where you have minions as well. There's
so it's Pikmin.
Like, I guess, but not in the same way as, like, the minions are just kind of there. As, they're basically weapons, not necessarily,
isn't that
like
what Pikmin are?
Like, I suppose so. They're, okay. Yeah, like, for example, one of them is, like, you summon, like, five bats that, like, will go around and drink blood for you or kill people or something.
Another, not that nice of them.
Yeah, another one is you shoot these, like, worm things out and it kills people. Everything is killing people. That's all this game is. Like, for what it is, it's probably okay. Maybe. It's just not very fun to me. Like, it just felt boring, like it was lacking any reason to really play it, so I kind of stopped playing it after about 40 minutes. But, yeah, like, I don't know. I wouldn't say it was necessarily bad, but it's $20, which is kind of a hard sell for me right now. Like, I don't think I could, with a good conscience, recommend it for that price. But there's that. Then I played Bosson X.
So you're saying it's not on our curator page.
It is not.
Ooh.
It is not on a curator page, which we can talk about in a bit, I suppose, with something that actually ties into that a little bit better. But unless you want to talk about that right now.
No, I don't care.
We can wait. Don't worry.
Okay. The next one is Bosson X. It's a endless runner type thing where you're jumping from platform to platform and gaining energy by going on certain blocks that have energy on them, like they're glowing. And it's one of these ones that you would play like on a tablet, moving left and right and stuff and jumping and holding down to jump further and whatnot. But that's fine for what it is. I don't know. Somebody recommended I try it, so I did, and I had a pretty good time with it. It kind of wrecked my brain, though, like those games usually do, because it starts getting faster and faster, and then you're just kind of like, oh, shit, I can't keep up, and then you lose. That's what happened to me.
You make it sound super good at that point.
Yeah. The next game somebody recommended I try out was Another Perspective, which is kind of fantastic. It's basically like the best parts of Braid and a Scapegoat mechanically put into a puzzle platformer that is just kind of like amazing. So think about, like, for Braid, there's a switching mechanic back and forth, right? But when you push the button to switch, you're switching to, like, say, an alternate version of yourself and the world you're in. So it's kind of hard to explain, but, like, if, say, there's one guy on the left, if there's on one guy like over to the left, right, like that you're controlling, if you push the button, that guy might be on the right in this alternate dimension with a block there too, so you have to like use him to get the key to keep going through the next door. So you're switching through like alternate versions of this level between all three of them, but they can work in perpetuity together. Like, you can stand on another version of your head to, like, get a little bit higher up and jump, or, like, as a platform that is in mid-air. I don't know. It's really, really weird to explain, but it, just...
Like, is it an indie-style game? Like, is it done like, a well-known studio, or...?
I'm trying to remember who did it. In fact, it doesn't make sense that I try to remember. I could just look it up right now, I suppose, because, you know, the internet.
Yeah, that whole thing. But yeah. No, like, it sounds really interesting, because the Scapegoat was always a cool concept, and obviously, like, most people enjoyed Braid in some aspect.
Mm-hmm. Developer was Sean JS.
So, my favorite studio.
I don't know if that's a studio or just his name, because it's, yeah, Sean JS. So he did that. It's really, really good. Kind of that, like, artsy vibe with the writing that's going on, like, as you're playing through the levels, but that's probably fine. You can ignore that if you don't like the artsy
indie
stuff.
So are you controlling like two people at all times?
Two to four, like depending whatever the level gives you. And not
my
at the same time.
Immediate impression is making me think like Outland mixed with PB Winterbottom.
Okay, like let me give you an example of say one of the levels, right? There is you on one side, like on the left side of the screen, and the doorway is on the right. And there is a key in the middle of this chasm that you obviously cannot cross because
oh,
your jump
okay,
is in far enough.
I've played this game.
Right. So what you do is when you switch to the next dimension, there or the other like version of this level and you, that character is on the right side of the screen, but there's no chasm. So you take him, walk on the platform all the way to right in the middle of that giant chasm, and then now you switch back to the other self and jump on his head to get the key and continue.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's weird. It's like parallel thinking, but all together in one level at a time. It's actually quite good, and I think it was only like a few bucks. It's pretty cheap, so that's
yeah,
one I could...
It's $6 on Steam right now.
I could definitely recommend that, for sure. It, like, plays perfectly fine for what it is, so I definitely recommend that.
You know what else is another perspective?
A top-down one?
Yeah.
Moving on, I played a game called Heavy Bullets.
Okay.
Heavy Bullets...
It sounds familiar. Why does it sound familiar?
It basically plays like a Quake game in the speed. It has roguelite elements, and it is colored like Hotline Miami. So okay. It's procedurally generated levels that you go through first person, but the thing is you only have 6 bullets and you can collect more, and after you shoot a bullet you can like pick it back up again, and there's like enemies trying to kill you sort of thing. I don't know, it's
you have like a limited number of bullets so you have to pick them up.
Yes, you have 6 okay. in your revolver, but you can pick up more as you progress, and there's power-ups you can buy, like health.
Are you taking them
things.
Like out of people, like what happens if you shoot someone?
Yeah, well, you there's like say like a snake, right, is an enemy. You would shoot the snake, and then when you go to pick up the money or whatever the snake drops, you'll also pick your bullet up as well.
Gross.
Yeah, so they get stuck in the ground or on the walls and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. So
oh, they don't get stuck in the snake?
No.
Well, no, the snake like blows up.
Everything is a clean shot right through.
It's very Tron-esque too in a way.
What?
Oh, did you play it?
Oh, I know. I've watched a friend play it and I have it.
Okay, I wouldn't say it's Tron-like in a lot of ways. Like the
in aesthetic, I mean.
Aesthetic is Hotline Miami, just straight up. Just like, I don't know how else to describe it, because it's the color schemes from that game, and the music isn't as good, unfortunately, as Hotline Miami, but very few games have that good of a music anyway as Hotline Miami.
Is the music as good as Tron Legacy?
No. Oh, God, no.
Okay. that music's real good.
Yeah, yeah, it is very, very good. You're right.
Yeah.
To the point where they pay people a lot of money to do it.
Yeah, and they're at the part where they're at the club, and then the people come in and just start, like, cutting everyone, and Daft Punk, who are the DJs there, are like, we're just going to keep rocking out. And you're like, yeah, this is great.
I think my biggest complaint with Heavy Bullets is that it didn't feel like enough challenge, not challenge necessarily, just it felt bland and boring. Like it's the same enemy type for all the levels almost. There's like turrets that just shoot bullets at you. There's snakes, like I said.
Can you pick
and these,
up their bullets?
You cannot, no. They're like laser bullets or something. They're just Damn there it. To hurt you.
Isn't everything? I'm so tired of it.
I'm so tired of everything. Yeah. No, but that game's fine. The one I've been playing the most probably this week is Wasteland 2.
Okay.
And big Kickstarter game.
Big Kickstarter game. And for a long time on Steam, it was like, early access, pay $40 for this game that's not even finished. And I know a lot of people were like, no. But it's basically Fallout, like a modernized version of Fallout.
Of like the traditional ones?
The
like
traditional Fallout, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is really cool because I haven't played something like that for a long time. So I don't play a lot of meticulous tactic-based RPGs.
Top-down perspective, right?
Yes.
I was going to say more isometric, but no, I think you're right.
Well, you can move the camera angle, so yeah. I guess it depends how you want your camera angle, but I don't play a lot of these types of games myself. So
here on the top-down perspective, we accept only one camera angle. Except no substitutions.
In all games, even first-person shooters. It's just really weird.
Yeah, it's called Hotline Miami, and that game's great. Weren't you just playing it?
Like 2 weeks ago, yeah?
Yeah, there you go.
So anyways, that game's fine.
It's my favorite first-person shooter.
I hate you both so much.
Yep. Wasteland
2.
No,
Wasteland 2. This was in development for a while. I have a coworker who's super excited for it.
Yeah. It's one of the games that you have to kind of get in meticulously, like check out stats, make characters based on stuff you think you'll need to survive through this wasteland. Every battle is intense because they are overpowered, so you have to actually use tactics to be able to do anything. You can friendly fire your own squad by accident if like your positioning's wrong. It's one of these games that you have to be very thorough with, which is kind of irritating in a way, but also nice in a way as well, because like I was saying, I don't play a whole lot of these, so the fact that there's one that I can get into right now is nice because I don't have to go to an old one. It's basically like those old style games of this sort, like the Baldur's Gates and Fallout and stuff like that, with modernized mechanics and graphics and all that sort of thing. So it's been really good. I like that quite a bit.
Cool. I thought I read a tweet where you hated this game.
I don't think I said I hated it. I was pissed off because I think there was a tweet where it's just like, oh, I just got killed by a rat. I can't handle this right now. And then I stopped playing. Like, I did rage quit. Yeah, but I hate it.
I remember there being some game this week that you also, like...
Yeah, I'm not talking about that game because I don't want to give
I'm
it...
I'm going to find the tweet I'm looking for.
Detective Sean's on the job.
I don't...
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't want to give that game any, like, kudos at all. I don't want 99 people listening to us live right now to know what that game is because right. I don't want them to look it up or pay money for it. Anyways, the name for that game is very similar to Wasteland 2, but it's not. The next game I played is Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Which all I right. was just playing today, actually, because I've been a little bit busy. But
curious about it. What class are you playing?
Right now, I am playing Valkyrie.
Good choice.
What are you playing?
I started off as a warrior playing on hard with a couple friends.
Yeah.
Then I switched to wizard because the warrior just sucks in that game.
Does it? Okay, it
yeah.
seemed like it. I almost picked Wizard just because Magicka?
Wizard is basically Magicka,
which is
and
great.
Is really awesome.
Yeah, okay. So I might, like, when I start playing seriously with the crew I have or yeah. whatever, that might be my main or whatever you want to call it.
I found the tweet. I won't say the name because you don't want me to, but it's pretty close.
I know.
You can see why I was confused.
Yeah, no. Yeah, for sure. But
that's interesting because I even said to my friend who was excited, "Oh, I have a friend that like really hates Wasteland 2."
That's not right at all. I like Wasteland 2 a lot.
Okay, well, I was confused. The marketing confused me.
Yep. But yeah. So
this is Band Hero all over again.
Band Hero. I remember that.
You remember that game?
Existed. Yeah.
Remember Rock Revolution?
Yeah, you sell that
I
drum.
I own that. I bought, yeah, it was $6.
Oh, man.
The game yeah. and the drum. That's a deal.
I remember
deal.
That. That was from Rogers, wasn't it?
No, HMV, back when they sold games.
They don't anymore. I bought Other M from an HMV, actually, too.
They haven't sold games for years.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. I had no idea. I don't go to HMV, I guess.
I think they only sell, like, Walking Dead t-shirts now.
I could believe that.
Yeah.
So they're basically Hot Topic or something then, now?
The Canadian Hot Topic.
But with movies.
Yeah, okay.
Like episodes of Walking Dead.
Yes, that's what I meant.
And
they're hour long, they can count as
from
a movie.
The hit series, The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Oh, and Pop Figures. It's Walking Dead t-shirts and Pop Figures of Walking Dead characters.
Hey, I like me some Pop Figures, but they have to be the right thing. I couldn't get a Walking Dead Pop Figure and justify that to myself.
What about if it was like a zombie?
Sure.
What were we talking about? Gauntlet?
Yeah, we're talking about Gauntlet, because that would, I thought, would have been a nice little going into what John played this week thing, but we had to talk about Hot Topic instead, so.
Apparently, and HMV.
Yeah. But, I was playing as the Valkyrie, which is kind of hard to get used to, honestly, and I felt like I was dying a lot because I wasn't upgraded enough to... I was taking on a lot of enemies at
the
time.
Here's the interesting thing. Like, I both times I've played the demo, I've played as the Valkyrie.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, sorry, one time might have been the Elf, but the Valkyrie is usually the class I'd play in the older Gauntlets, even though there wasn't much of a difference back then.
Yeah.
Now, I think she's one of the better ones because she can actually block.
Sure, yeah. I'm not very good at the blocking, though. That's probably the problem.
Here's the question. Are you playing with controller or keyboard?
I'm playing with controller.
Good. Okay. So yeah, it's right thumbstick.
Yeah.
Did you ever try playing this game with the mouse at all?
No.
Like... I did before I got my controller set up. Mm-hmm. You have to move your mouse to where the direction you want to swing. Hmm. It's very hot. It was Hotline Miami controls basically.
Eh.
Yeah, it was
not like for this. Very good. I can't get behind that. Probably, no. But
it was really bad.
Yeah.
But no, I think the reason I don't like the warrior class is because unlike the other three classes, he has no way to either evade or block. He just has to take damage.
Oh, he's not the one with the roll then, the dodge.
No, that's the elf.
That's the elf.
Elf has the roll. Wizard has a dodging spell that does damage.
Right.
And Valkyrie can block and has a lunging attack that helps get out of the way. Warrior has a running move, but there's so much startup on it that you get knocked out of it.
Hmm.
And the AoE move he has, which like clears the area around him, takes too long to recharge, at least at the beginning.
I found that too. Like in the tutorial, they make you play at the beginning. I was like, this is probably the best move he has. It's too bad it takes like 3 to 5 seconds to actually recharge.
Warrior seems like the class that by the end of the game is actually good because eventually he gets the ability to like recharge his own health up to a certain point, like I think 40% maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But starting off the bat, he's terrible, and all the other classes are so much better.
Yeah, I could probably see that. Elf seemed really fun to play. My friend was playing Elf with me, and he never died, ever.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah.
Elf even has an ability, I believe, where if he like loses all his health, he comes back with one hit point immediately before like he actually gets knocked down properly.
Is that one you have to buy, though? Like, you don't start off with it, right?
I know. I think that's an
upgrade.
A feat you need to accomplish.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
But I don't know. It's weird that, because like, the game forces you to use like each class as a character, so you can't have more than one of a class.
Right.
So that means someone in a party of four is stuck with the shitty warrior.
Unless they love warrior, man. Then they're just like, I couldn't imagine myself being anything more.
Like, I was playing with two other people, and I was, like, 90% of the time, I was the one using up all their revives. And then when I switched to Wizard, I was usually the one getting the most kills.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just weird swaps. I don't know. I still want to go back and see, like, maybe he just needs to be buffed a bit. Maybe I just need to unlock more feats with him, but he's terrible right out of the gate.
One of my favorite things about Valkyrie has simply been just, like, when those spawners come up and, like, a circle of dudes comes up, you just throw your shield and, like, Captain America that shit all around them and then catch it again. That
move is pretty sweet.
It's so good. But other than that, like, Valkyrie's been okay. I honestly haven't had any complaints. I just feel like I die a whole lot, especially compared to my friend who didn't die at all, which is probably, like, just based down to, like, melee class versus a range class sort of thing. You're just going to be in the fray more, and like you'll get to pull off cooler looking shit when a bunch of guys are around you and you take them all out right away, but they could also probably kill you if you're not careful.
That's the trade-off.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just like how more aggressive the game is, how harder the game is. Like,
yeah,
I think
it's cool.
It's a good upgrade to the original Gauntlets.
And it's kind of like I've wanted this type of game again for 4-player online co-op sort of thing. Like I wanted this sort of Gauntlet game again. So here it is. There you go.
My only gripe with the game right now is the fact that the camera's a little picky at times. and the HUD can actually cover you up and you can get killed off screen.
Is it a top-down perspective?
Yes, Sean, it is.
All right, great. I'm glad I could join this conversation.
Do you have any interest in playing the game?
Is it anything like Warriors the movie?
It is not a movie. You do not sit down and watch it. You have to press buttons.
Is it anything like Elf the movie?
Elf or Alf?
It's exactly like Elf and Elf.
Is it anything like Nintendo's The Wizard?
Yes. You play as was that Fred Savage or Ben Savage?
That was Fred Savage. That was Fred. Ben was Corey.
Oh yeah.
For the record, Alf is awesome.
Isn't someone said that all the episodes are either on YouTube or Netflix? I forget which. Maybe even both.
I remember in high school physics class, we were making catapults, and I don't know why I did this, but I put a piece of, like, a board on our catapult and then spray-painted a stencil of Alf on it.
Yeah. Because Alf likes cats, so catapult.
Cool, man.
You know, that was never one of the draws, but I guess so.
There you go. You did it.
He doesn't like cats.
Yeah.
Is that all you played, Paul?
That's all I played.
All right.
Is this on Steam?
Yes. And it is like on 20 Steam. Bucks, isn't it?
Sorry?
It's not full price, is it? It's like 20 bucks.
I think so, and like 40 for the 4-pack or something like that. Sounds if you buy the 4-pack, you get one copy of it free.
If you buy the any pack, I get a copy of it for free.
I already gave mine out. I'm sorry.
That's not an issue. But thanks for whatever.
You see where he was going with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, since we were talking about Gauntlet, I'll take over on this one. Mm-hmm. I've been playing Gauntlet. I'm going to see switching up characters. I wanted to start as Valkyrie, but it was already taken in my group. So, all right.
Who took Warrior. It?
Juker did.
Oh, that motherfucker. Juker, I see you in the chat smiling. You smug
but no,
bastard.
He was already like, they'd already been playing for like a couple missions when I jumped in. So.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I was going to be like, give me the character, God. Meow, I want it now.
Give me a now.
The chat Come points on. Out that Valkyrie was a movie too. It had Tom Cruise. There we go.
It's true.
All four.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait a minute. What? I keep thinking that it's an archer, not an elf.
Yeah.
I said elf.
I know. It didn't quite click.
Starring Will Ferrell.
Yes.
Oh, you're getting called out. Juker says he was the elf.
Oh, shit, he's right. It was Otto.
Oh.
My bad.
Nope. I should have known. Fucking Otto. Every time. Sorry, Juker.
Sorry, Juker. Sorry, Otto. All right. I also played Lethal League, as usual. Played a bunch of matches.
Cool.
Having a good time. Went through the challenge mode. Beat it with almost all the characters. Can't beat it with the Gator, though. It's the only problem.
Hmm.
His attacks just seem too slow for me compared to everyone else.
Told you
I don't
slow.
Like him.
Told you.
I'll give you that.
They're all the same speed. And I was like, I don't know, man.
I thought they were all the same speed. They more or less are. And then I'm like, no, actually, he's right. The Gator is slow.
He sucks.
Boom.
His super's really good, though. That's the trade-off.
I like his super. Yeah, it's cool.
And I played Tapping Go 2 on the 3DS. So I talked about Tapping Go 1 in the past. It was a puzzle game where you just like slid these bars and you had to block them off and they ended up making a pitcher. So they made a sequel, which I remember my main complaint about Tapping Go 1 was that the music sucked. The music's significantly better in this one, but they changed the controls and as a result it's worse.
Is it like tilt controls?
No, thankfully no. So the main idea is...
That'd be the worst.
That would be the worst, so you got me there. But
actually,
it was
camera controls would be the worst if you had to like motion with your head or something.
Oh God!
Please do not give anyone that idea ever, because someone will do it.
Yeah, that's probably a thing on like PC somewhere.
I don't want to think of that.
I don't know. I played a game this week that I could move my head and it did stuff. We'll get to that later.
All right. But the main thing they did was normally you're supposed to play it with a stylus and like slide the bars across. But in the first one, you could use the D-pad because at a certain point, the puzzles became too big to actually like properly use the stylus.
Hmm.
You couldn't zoom in. But they switched it to the thumb pad. in the second game for some reason.
Hmm.
And okay. you're moving around in a grid, and trying to do analog movement with a digital pad doesn't work well.
Sure.
You could tap it to the right, you would either move not at all, one space, or five spaces. And the D-pad was turned into camera control when you zoom in, because they added in the zoom feature.
Is there maybe, like, control options you can, like, change?
Nope. The options are turn off music, turn off sounds, I think.
Did this just come out? When did Tapping Go 2 come
out? Tapping Go 2 came out, like, 2 weeks ago. It's, like, $3. Okay. It's super cheap. So, I mean, for the price, I can't complain too much. But it just bummed me out that they had a really good control scheme in the first one, and then they changed it for some reason in the second. But that's all I played. Sean, what about you?
I played some more Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright.
Is it still amazing?
Yeah, it's still really good.
Okay.
I'm glad to hear that.
Still having tons of fun with that. Nothing really new on that front to report. This these next two games, my console's probably going to turn on during this. I'm just saying it now. It's not going to be a surprise.
I'm waiting.
It's going to happen eventually.
I'm going to turn you up a little bit so I can hear it.
Come on.
Okay. Well, let's just see if I can, like, go through it without saying the console. First off, I played some D4.
All right.
Dark Dreams Don't Die.
Mm-hmm.
This is the next game from Swery 65.
Yep.
And it is a game from Swery 65.
Amazing.
I can thankfully say.
Okay, nice.
Glad to hear this.
It is... There are so many moments where I was watching the TV and then something happened and I just kind of like turned to like the mirror and was like, what, why did that happen? There's a lot of weird choices in that game. It's just bizarre. For example, it's an episodic game. I believe, my code that was sent for me, I'm reviewing it.
I'll
review up on Comic Book Bin in a few days. I think the first season I heard comes with the prologue in episode 1-2. I don't know if there's more coming. I don't know exactly how it's broken down.
It's supposed to be episodic, and there is more from what I've heard.
Yeah. So I'm in the middle of episode 2 at the moment. But it's all about your character named David Young. You're a private detective whose wife was killed somehow. But you lost your memory of how that night goes,
mm-hmm.
except you do remember her saying, look for D. So you're trying to find out who D is. And you have this power. Somehow you got, like, shot in the head and the bullet's still in there or something like that. So that's why he, like, always, like, touches his head like this.
Okay.
You have this power. When you come across mementos, which from what I understand, mementos are, like... are like items that that are just like more meaningful in some way. I don't know. They basically act as like gateways for you to use your power to go into the past to the point what made that item meaningful. And then you're kind of investigating. It is a point and click adventure game, 100% with quick time events thrown in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing in the chat, some people don't seem to know who Swery 65 is. He was the director on Deadly Premonition.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, long-time listeners of the show will know
Deadly Premonition
is pretty ridiculous.
And he follows everybody back on Twitter and says he loves them.
He's great.
He's a great guy, yeah.
That guy's, he's a weird dude, and he's always having fun.
Yeah, no, he loves it.
I recommend following his Instagram as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, didn't he post a picture, like, this week of him with Suda51?
I don't know.
I don't know, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, so there'll be stuff like you see a character who's the father of of your wife that died. And then the first time he speaks, for some reason, they recorded this guy's voice audio and then put some filter on it to make it sound like demonic robot. But he's just a dude.
Mm.
It's just like, yeah, it's just like, why was this decision made? I don't understand it. It's bizarre. This dude's in love with, like, a mannequin. There's a weird, creepy, super tall doctor who just hangs around on a plane pressing a knife and a fork together a bunch. I don't know.
Is there any like random jazz solo that makes no sense, or like a random saxophone that plays?
I wouldn't say a random saxophone, but there are just weird times of like music cues and stuff happening. There's this weird joke that keeps happening where your like partner is way like super into eating a lot of food. Like you're just having a conversation with him. He grabs 5 slices of pizza, layers them on top, and then just pushes it into his mouth.
Great.
And then you talk to him again, and you guys are having hot dogs this time, and David Young cuts his hot dog in half and puts his fork and knife into the different pieces and then pretends that they're dancing, and then he gets, like, broccoli or something, and he's, like, kicking them up and down like a soccer ball. I don't know why. And the guy who's way into eating takes... How many hot dogs does he take? He takes three hot dogs per hand, but inside each of the buns are 3 hot dogs. And then he puts all 6 buns and... What would that be?
18.
18 hot dogs into his mouth at the same time. Oh, yeah. And, okay, there's this girl that lives with you called Amanda, who is a cat, I guess. But she's a human girl.
Yeah, this is what I mentioned when I saw the demo at E3. That's where the demo stopped, was when she barges into the kitchen.
Mm. Yeah. No one questions why this grown woman is wearing, like, a onesie thing and acts literally just like a cat. Like, you might as well just switch out the model to make it a cat. But it's a human girl.
So what you're saying is...
Apparently she goes shopping for David. I don't know.
What you're saying is this is a video game.
I'm saying this is a sweary 65 video game.
I think the best comment in the chat when you were talking like that is like, wait, they let the dude who made Deadly Premonition make another game?
That's the craziest thing is I'm looking at this and being like, who was saying yes to all these things? Like, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying, like, it's just so weird.
Dude, don't forget, this was a Microsoft-promoted game.
Right. And so this is the game I was talking about with the head thing. It has Kinect support. You can play with a...
controller.
A controller, which I tend to typically do just because it's a bit tighter, the controls. The Kinect controls seem to work fine.
Someone said the Xbox One controls are basically Heavy Rain. Like the actual controller controls. Or similar.
Were they like context sensitive to what you're doing?
Like, okay. You don't walk around like a tank, which Heavy Rain you do. There are quick time events. And then I guess the only comparison I could really see is every now and then you'll see like the letter Y pop up during cutscenes. And if you press it, you'll kind of just get more info on what's going on. And I guess it is kind of a lot of... But it's more of a point-and-click adventure. So in the sense that Heavy Rain was a point-and-click adventure, then I guess so. Because it is walking up to a lot of things, moving the right stick around to highlight things to see, can I interact with this? And then, oh, look, I can interact with this. There you go. Every time you interact with something, it uses stamina. You have a stamina bar the whole time. And you have to eat food to bring your stamina back. Okay, here's another weird thing. You have a porch in your apartment, and if you go out to it, there's like a bunch of vines on the side, and if you interact with those, he takes out hedge clippers, and he cuts the vines into the letter D. I don't know, like, it's really weird. Oh yeah, his wife died in his bathroom, and he just left the murder scene there.
Okay, that's weird.
It's a really weird game. Everything you do has a leaderboard, so you can compare with your friends how many times you stood still.
That's amazing. That's the best idea for leaderboards ever.
Like, there's a leaderboard for like everything in the game, and you can compare with your friends.
That's so
good. I
don't
have any friends playing with it, but I don't know.
Don't worry, I picked it up, so I'll probably be playing it soon.
Okay, like, you can transition between the two control styles really easily. Like, if you're wanting to go to the Kinect, you just lift up your hand, and it'll most of the time it'll just notice you, and it'll move in. Like I said, the Kinect stuff seems like it tracks fine, but but there's like so many things you need to like highlight and stuff all the time that it was just kind of more comfortable for me to just sit there and use the controller. So that's just kind of what I've gone with. Every time you're talking to someone and you get like a dialogue tree, you can say what the option will be, and it's picked me up every time, so the voice recognition is real nice. And one cool thing is when I was playing it, it'll also, if you have Kinect controls and you like walk away, it'll pause the game for you, which is pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
That's really good. That's cool.
Yeah, it'll notice like, oh, you're not in front of the game anymore, so we'll pause it. And you can pause during cutscenes and everything you want. So that was just kind of a cool little feature to throw in there. The one thing I don't like about it, and this is kind of a little meta, is so when you want to go into the Xbox, you can say the, not yet, you can say the, like, go to, and then the name of the game. You can't say D4, you have to say the whole thing, which is just kind of annoying.
No, that, they do that for everything. So, like, if I wanted to load up Super Time Force, so I'd say the whole thing.
Once. I understand that, but yeah. This one, it's like it where it has like a specific name that is shorter.
Mm.
Like I have to say, go to D4, Dark Dreams Don't Die. As opposed, it would be nice if I could just say go to D4. Right? But anyway, yeah, it's a weird game. It's going to be a weird review to write. I don't really know how I feel. It's just like...
It's a swirly game.
Are you at least just, entertained?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm having fun with it, and the story's interesting. It's just the most time it's like, it's just so weird. Like, it's purposefully clunky in ways, and it's, I don't know. The art style is pretty cool. Kind of looks like Borderlands, you know, that hard cel shaded kind of stuff. As some people, maybe they're at the stream this week, I played a bunch of Forza Horizon 2.
I was there.
A review code sent to me. Comes out September 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And it is now the 25th of September, so I can give my impressions on that game now.
And what do you think?
It's really good. It's a lot of fun. It's not as stylish as Forza Horizon 1, which is, stylish was the adjective I was using so much with the first Horizon. Because it's constantly like when it gets dark, you're seeing fireworks go off, tons of neon lights, cool smoke stuff, like it was a cool festival. This just kind of seems like open world racer. So I want to say it kind of lost a bit of its personality, but everything else that made Forza Horizon great is there again. The music's real good. It looks gorgeous. You know, being able to rewind time makes driving pretty easy. I don't know what else I want to say about Forza Horizon 2. It was the first time I tried the Twitch integration on Xbox One.
Yeah, I was asking you a little bit before we started here. You said the only other time you tried streaming to this channel, to the top-down perspective, was when you streamed from your PlayStation 4. So how was, like, which is easier to stream from?
The PlayStation 4 is real nice because it's built in from the get-go, so you can just hit the share button and it'll like pop up the menu.
Okay.
As long as you've put in your account info.
Okay.
The Xbox, you have to make sure you download the Twitch app, which another kind of cool thing is that when I was at work, I was like, oh yeah, I need that Twitch app. And I just opened up the Smart Glass app on my phone, found Twitch, hit download, and because my Xbox is set to like auto on or whatever, it was already downloaded by the time I got home. So that was really nice and convenient. So, apart from that, though, they're pretty much identical. They're super easy to get into. Again, the PS4 is nice because you just hit the button. The Xbox, you have to, like, you know, you have to say, you know, Xbox, snap Twitch, or go into the Twitch app first, then go into the game. So, I guess I'd say maybe just setting things up is a bit easier on the PS4. But, you know, once you've got like, the interface going, it's super easy. You chose what you're going to look like. You can... You plug the headset in. I accidentally played the first like 15 minutes of that stream with none of my voice because I thought it was the Kinect microphone that they were talking about because I had microphone enabled.
Yeah.
But no, I actually had to plug the headset into the controller.
Makes sense.
And then people could hear me fine. I checked the archive the day after. Looks like it picked up the video quality really good.
Yeah, it was really nice. It worked out really well.
Yeah, and especially with a game of that speed and stuff, that was definitely cool.
Yep.
That was a ton of fun. I'll probably do more of that.
Did you have the Kinect camera enabled? Anything like that?
Yeah. No, people were watching me.
Yep. Okay.
I had that, you know, myself was my picture of me was in the corner and whatnot. Yeah, that game's real fun. I'm trying to think if anything like is sticking out to me. The it has a Showtime events back, which from the first game, those were the ones where you will randomly like race a plane or something.
Mm.
So this time you race, like, what have I done? I've raced a train already, and those are just cool because they're weird and different. Yeah, no, that's a really sharp-looking game. Tons of leaderboard stuff, which is definitely cool, and it has all of your customized stuff from Forza. The one thing that I'm super curious about, I'm not really sure how I'll be able to test it to figure out, to get a solid answer, but it starts off and it says, you know, there are no computer drivers in this game. All of them are drivatars. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case, but a lot of them are. You can tell because when you go drive near a car, it'll have a little, you know, gamer tag above it. But it's putting gamer tags of people on my friends list. Now, on my friends list, I have friends, and then I have also people I follow because you can follow people now, right? And those people were showing up as well. Mm-hmm. But I know those people haven't played the game. So I'm wondering if they were just like saying, oh, this car, we're just going to make it your buddy's name. We're just going to pull a bunch of your names in. So, you know, it seems like you're playing with your friends.
Do you think they'd pull Drivatars from Forza 5?
That's the other thing, is I was playing with, I did have some friends who have played Forza 5, and it was it maybe pulling those Drivatars. I don't know if those are compatible. That would be really cool if they were.
Did my profile come up at all? Because I haven't loaded my Forza 5 yet.
No, I didn't see you.
Okay.
So I guess maybe it is using Forza 5. So I'm just trying to think of the people I saw. I didn't see any of my 360 friends, which makes sense. I think I was seeing everyone but you of my friends who have an Xbox One.
Mm.
And those other people have played Forza 5. And so were the people I was following. Yeah, so you know what? Actually, I think it is only people who have played Forza 5. So maybe it's taking in those Drivatars. However, the driving didn't seem erratic or anything weird. Like, I would have just assumed it's a computer because they were just driving kind of normally. So at that point, what's the point of the Drivatar? But I don't know. Maybe they just made it better. I don't know. But regardless, yeah, I'm having a great time with Forza Horizon 2. I'll have a review of that in the future as well, up on Comic Book Bin. And that's all I've been playing this week.
Can I point out how crazy it is that the Xbox One hasn't been out for a whole year yet and already has two Forza games?
Yeah. But to be fair, they're made by two different studios.
Wait, this was not Turn 10?
No, it was, but a different team works on...
Teams of Turn 10.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I know, but it's like the case of like we're getting two Assassin's Creeds this year on the same day. Kind of like that.
Sure. I guess it's similar to that, yeah. I think Horizon 2 is also coming to 360. I think so. Anyway.
You might be right on that, yeah. Anyways, let's move on to the news. All right. Let's kick it off here with an announcement about the new Nintendo 3DS. And the fact that it has a release date for Australia, not for anywhere else yet.
Yeah, this was just kind of surprising. November 21st, I'm just not used to Australia getting anything before us.
Sure, yeah.
I talked to a couple people about it, and I think it's one of two reasons that they haven't announced it for North America yet.
They've said spring. They said 2015 for North America.
Oh, did they? I missed that part.
Yeah, they said early 2015 for North America. And because they said originally, I think they gave a release date for Japan, and then they said North America early 2015.
Okay. Because originally I could see it being because they have so many like 3DS and 3DS XL bundles coming out in the next couple months because the Smash bundle just dropped. There's a Persona Q bundle coming out, and I'm pretty sure there's another one in there I'm forgetting about. The Pokemon Alpha Ruby Omega Sapphire for the 2DS.
Right.
So
that's another news story we can touch on as well. But the only real thing I thought it was interesting of this was just that Australia is getting something other than the Shaft. And I thought that was unique.
Don't worry, they still have to pay through their nose for it, though.
Sure. And then, yeah, you mentioned the 2DS. I brought this up because Europe is going to be getting transparent 2DSs, red and blue, for the Pokemon. And I only brought that up because, hey, you guys remember transparent Game Boys?
Yep.
Oh, man.
I had a purple one.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah.
Was there only the purple one? Oh, no, there was also a...
There was clear ones.
There was clear blue. Yeah.
And I had that for the Game Boy Advance, as I had the clearest blue one. Because that's the best. You want to see the insides of that thing. Why did that go away?
I don't know, but it's making a comeback with the 2DS of all systems.
Yeah. That's the only reason I brought it up is, yeah, do you guys remember those Game Boys?
Absolutely.
Could you imagine, like, a clear Xbox case?
Yes.
That would just be weird.
I have a clear original Xbox.
Was there a clear Xbox?
Yeah, it was.
It was the Halo 2 edition.
Yep.
And the Halo 1 edition was the clear but green.
I meant, like, the Xbox One. Like, I'm talking, like, modern-day kind of stuff.
Oh, I know.
So.
I'm just saying. But anyway. Xbox One's not that old.
And, like,
original Xbox, sorry, rather.
Wasn't there, like, a Donkey Kong 64 bundle or whatever that was
transparent? Green?
Jungle Green or whatever?
But here's the thing. When they did that they also released 5 other transparent colors at the same time.
Yeah. I have a... Because I have a black N64 and I have the see-through green one as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Same here.
Surprisingly, I didn't get it with... Donkey Kong. How did I get that one?
Like a
I got
pawn shop one. Or something, probably?
It might have been. Back then, I was getting a lot from pawn shops. I know I got the black one, and it came with the Zelda, I think. And actually, the black N64 came with a see-through purple controller.
Yeah, I think when they were trying to get rid of all like just the generic black ones, they were matching them up with the new colors and controllers, so...
I wish there was tons of colors for consoles still. You remember? That was so cool. I guess Nintendo was the only one that really did that.
Nintendo's still kind of... Well, no, Sony kind of does too, but not much.
Not much.
For their handhelds, they definitely do.
Mm.
Now we only get special colors when it comes in, like... If you get it bundled with this one game, then you can get this ugly Gears of War Xbox.
Mm-hmm. I think the PS2 had a few different colors. I remember a red one.
There was a white one, black one...
A blue one, maybe?
There was a rare gold
one. There was a
rare
one.
Gold one, too.
Was there a silver one?
Yes, definitely was.
Wasn't that a slim, though? Like, that wasn't the original one. That was a slim.
I have a black PS2. But I don't remember. I don't think I've seen a red one. I've seen slim red ones.
Well, maybe it wasn't
slim
the
blue ones, for sure.
Maybe it wasn't the PS2 I'm thinking of. It might have been the Xbox. 360.
There's a red 360. It's a Gears of War one. Isn't that the one you have?
Resident
gone?
Evil. No.
It was Resident Evil. Yeah.
That was what Christine had. So she had the Resident Evil pack.
Ah.
Okay. I just have the white Xbox.
Same here. All right. On top of that, what do we have next?
We mentioned Steam curators.
Mm-hmm.
So Steam just got like a kind of a big overhaul. The storefronts changed as well.
Yep.
And the biggest thing was the curators thing. Well, I guess, so the storefront, it's kind of designed more to give more recommendations to you now.
They're catered to you personally now, or they're trying to, which is where the curators come in. So it's basically like, for somebody who might not know what we're talking about here, think of it as like following somebody on Twitter, only you're following like what they like on Steam, basically. So it'll show you like stuff that it'll recommend stuff like if you like Jim Sterling, say, and you follow like his curator list, the store page will first and foremost look at stuff that you have and you've liked and compare it to like what he has recommended and stuff, and it will tailor these things to you in theory.
Right. It's not what he's playing, it's what he decides to recommend and stuff.
Yeah, you don't even have to own a game to like recommend it. Run Steam curator,
which is weird because it's kind of just turning into like a list feature.
It is. Kind of that's exactly
that's
what
really
it is.
What it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like I saw this one example of what was the curator page called? It was called "Is It Postal?"
Amazing.
And the description was for the only like information you need to know of whether or not the game is postal first, and it is rarely postal.
I can't imagine why.
He just starts getting a bunch of games and then saying, no, not postal. we have a curator page and we've, what are some games you've recommended, Paul?
God damn it.
you don't remember any of them?
Like, I remember some of them. So the reason why I recommended so many is when you set up a curator page, you need to have a tagline for who your group is or whatever, and you need to have 10 recommendations before you're shown on the store page. So the night it came out, I was just like, fuck it, I'm recommending stuff I like, and just put a bunch of stuff on there, like Shovel Knight's on there, Wolfenstein is on there. I think there's South Park Stick of Truth is on there.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think Binding of Isaac is, because I was about to play that, but instead of playing it, I just recommended it.
Okay. Ah, yes, the exact same thing.
Like, kind of. Are you going to make me try to remember all of them?
No, I was just saying. Okay, hey, give
those
an
are
example.
Those are some of the ones I recommended.
I recommended Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Yep.
And I recommended To the Moon.
Yep.
And we usually put our name if we recommended them specifically, so people can see who's recommending what.
All right. So does only Paul have access to this, or do I?
No,
as well?
All the officers do for the group. So you do too.
I didn't get a prompt for that, but maybe it's because I'm not in online mode on Steam.
If you go into you have to go in the Steam group page, and it's a tab called Curator on the actual community page. I'm gonna put the link to it in the chat here as well, if people wanted to support it, I suppose.
Okay, I see that.
So they can just choose to follow it, or do they have to like join the group?
No, they just click follow. But like, you should maybe join the group because we're trying to do stuff. I don't know.
Sean, I love your recommendation for Crypt of the Necrodancer.
It's so good.
There ain't no party like an S Club party, Sean.
He's right. There isn't.
That's true.
Also, like, your To the Moon recommendation is fantastic because it's literally just your name.
I couldn't think of something witty for
that. Enough said.
So. But no, you're like, is truth. There ain't no party like an S Club party. So, and then two other bits of news. Kind of a big one. Blizzard canceled Titan.
They did. Yeah, the game they've been working on for 7 years. Is it now?
That sounds about right.
Yep.
They released a huge long article, or saw a huge long article on Kotaku explaining what Titan was going to be.
Yep.
I didn't read it because it was really long, but if you're super into Titan, you can kind of find out more about that. But just kind of interesting to see them can that project.
I mean, I can respect Blizzard for that. They've canned a lot of projects in the past, at least that we know of, like Ghost.
Yeah, like when I heard this, my only tweet with it was, this is why I love Blizzard, because I like when there is a company out there that will work on something fervently for so long, and then when it's still not up to their standards and they don't know how they're going to make it work, they'll just can it. Like, it's not, of course Blizzard can do it because they are raking in money, so nobody's jobs are like really at risk for doing a venture like this. It's just like, oh, we, instead of making like $10 million this month, we're going to make $8 million. Like, it's not a huge problem for a company that big. But I like when there's some integrity there. Like, we take this so seriously that we can't put our name on something that we don't believe in completely. I just like that. I don't know.
This kind of just reminds me of when 38 Studios went under after working on Copernicus for so long.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
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 That's a sadder story because that whole company, like, just went away.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of a similar thing of, we've been working on this for a really long time. It's not coming out.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Titan is no more. And then the last thing is that the PlayStation TV, that's that weird Vita/stream games to different TV box, is coming out in North America on October 14th.
Like, it's a video game Roku box, right? That's what it is?
More or less, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Basically, yeah, just for the PS4. But it can also play Vita games
and
that
PS3.
Don't require... Oh, yes, and PS3. That don't require any of the touch stuff, because you can't use the Vita as a controller, I was hearing.
So is it like... I'm going to read this article, I guess. I don't know much about this, honestly. Is it kind of like a Roku box in the fact that it's like Netflix for games, or is it like a Sling box where you're playing
it's
a game?
It's supposed to enable you to actually do PlayStation Now, but it also gives you access to the PlayStation Store as well to download.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's a Sling box for your PS4.
Okay.
So if you have a PS4 hooked up on one TV, you put this on your bedroom TV or whatever, and it can, like, talk to your PS4, and you can play it in your bedroom.
Okay.
But it also will have... But it also does act... Or, yes, it does talk to the store, so you can get stuff through there as well. I don't know if you can do it by yourself, I'm not sure if you need the PS4. Like, is this thing like, is
no,
it just kind
this,
of a dumb
this is standalone.
Terminal?
This is standalone.
Oh, will it be standalone?
Yes.
Well, then that would make it not a sling box for the PS4.
Well, I believe to play, the only thing is, I think for PS4 games you do need it. That's the only thing I'm not sure about.
Okay.
Because I think at that point it might be just the talk of PlayStation Now being enabled for PS4 games for it.
Right. Because all I'm seeing on kind of in the articles are kind of like what it'll allow you to do. I'm not seeing a ton of like what you need. Regardless, there's two prices. It'll be $100 for just the box, or $140 for a bundle that comes with an 8 gig memory card, the Lego Movie video game, and a DualShock 3. So, honestly, I feel like if you have a PS4 and a Vita already, you don't need this.
Right.
Oh yeah. It even says here in the article, if you're a PS4 owner, use Remote Play with it, so you can play basically just play your PS4 on a different TV in the house without moving it.
That's what I thought. Sling box. So.
And yeah, PS Now.
But I guess if you don't have a PlayStation Vita, it's kind of a nice deal considering it's cheaper than a Vita, and then you can start playing the majority of those games.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you can already play the majority of those games
yeah.
on almost any other console you can think of. /PC. I'm trying to think of anything specific to this that doesn't use any of the touch. I don't think that game exists.
What do you mean? Like
maybe Wipeout.
Gravity Rush would probably work on it.
Gravity Rush uses the touchscreen.
Really? Ooh. Yep. The Danganronpa games.
Uncharted. Do those not use any touch or anything?
Probably not.
Uncharted does. It was like the poster
yeah,
child
right,
of
that
let's
used
use every single
damn
feature.
Thing. Right.
Yeah. Are you sure Danganronpa uses none of them?
I don't know.
Then
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Yeah, that's true.
I'm sure there are some games, but...
Actually, I believe there is a list of... Hang on. Full list of supported games right here. I'll check Danganronpa real quick. Yes, you can play Danganronpa.
Okay.
And Danganronpa 2. But the majority of these other ones... Hey, you can play the Vita version of Borderlands 2 on your TV.
There you go.
Oh, good.
You can't do that anywhere else.
Nope. Nowhere.
Yeah, Gravity Rush is not on this list. Mostly these games you like. Well, the Vita doesn't really have exclusives, so there you go. Hey, you can play TXK. That game's all right. You know. The first season of The Walking Dead.
There you go.
And the first episode of the second season.
Reaching so hard.
You can play PSP games on it.
Yep.
And PlayStation 1 games.
Anyone up for some Loco Roco?
Loco Roco was pretty good.
Loco Roco was pretty good.
I like Loco Roco.
Of course
I remember that came out as a weird like Japanese demo first.
I need to find the sequel to that game. We got the second one.
I have it. I've played through it.
You played through Loco Roco too?
I did.
How was it?
More Loco Roco.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
No, it's not.
No, I'm just saying, like, don't expect anything else. And don't accept anything else.
I don't.
Accept no substitutes.
Yeah. Exactly. Where's my Loco Roco 3 on Vita? How is there not another Patapon? They made 3 of those.
Probably because they made 3 of them. They realized, oh man, maybe we should give it a break.
Or how did they make 3? I didn't think the first one was that great.
Hmm.
Anyway, that's it for news.
Sweet. Move on to emails then. Yeah, we got a lot of questions again. Man.
Yeah, we do. Dude. People are emailing
and
way
more.
And
we even ignored some because we have to start cutting. There's so many people.
We cut a few, yeah.
TopDownPerspective@gmail.com is the email address. @TDPPodcast for the Twitter account, or search Top Down Perspective on Facebook.
That's where you can send a question to have it cut, so we won't talk about it.
If you want to say words and have it completely ignored, send it to that email address.
Censorship.
And then you can sound just like this. Sean writes in, hey, you guys. A newer fan still coming from watching a lot of John. I've got some questions, I think, unless I have no idea how email works, and somehow I'm sending questions for next week instead.
See what we've
Great.
Done? We've
John,
confused people.
Just like future
John,
emails.
Question 1. John, you should try and get in contact with Brit. You should know which Brit I'm talking about. And trying to get to Texas sometime in the next few
How
years.
Is that not cut? Are you serious?
Solid question. 5 stars.
That's like not even a question for one thing.
Didn't I also answer this question last week saying
and then
I've been to Texas?
Sorry if somehow this gets asked twice. I sent the same question last week.
Then that would explain why that happened.
Oh my god.
Didn't we last week talk about I've been to Texas? Like as recently as July.
We're so dumb. We should have just cut it. I didn't even read it. So,
question two to the three of you: any major plans for collaborations again soon? The three of you have a great dynamic, and I want to listen to more than just the podcast.
No,
no,
not at the moment.
We're so positive here. No, we haven't done any like streams recently because we're all in like different parts, or maybe Sean's not near us.
It's like, wait a minute. We're all in different parts. I'm like a 15-minute drive from you.
Well, Sean's in a different part, and I just don't like Paul.
That's exactly it. Like, at least tell the truth. We owe people the truth. That's what this is all about. Like, we did Four Idiots stuff. That's probably the closest you'll get, like, for us doing quote-unquote content for someone else, essentially. We were just part of it. We didn't like do it together.
Yeah, other than that, we haven't really planned anything per se. Like every now and then I'll pop up in some Payday with Paul and he streams it. That's about it.
I don't advertise those though.
Yeah.
Because it's just Payday. Like it's just the game that's played every week. So whatever.
I actually haven't played it this week because
I didn't
it
play
keeps
it
crashing.
Oh, that's not good.
It's because of the mod we're using right now. Waiting for it to get updated.
Hawkshead?
Yeah.
I haven't tried playing it either, so. I would love to do something with both of you. I don't know, like.
Okay, cool. Let's do something.
Just because, like, Sean's weirdly quiet, especially after he's like, no plans at the moment, and we were both just like, no.
Oh, no, I'm just looking. I'm looking ahead at the other questions.
Oh, okay.
He's getting ready to censor things.
I'm not censoring things. I'm cutting stuff.
All right. Next question comes to us from Henry. Two-parter. One, what video game worlds do you think smell the best? I think Wind Waker would smell really nice and like salty sea breeze. Also, Cooking Mama.
Those are the greatest answers of all time to that question.
Wind Waker looks like it would smell nice.
I'm actually going to say Wind Waker would probably smell bad because being someone who actually grew up on an island and went boating a lot.
On a ship.
Yeah. In boats.
Fun fact, John was born on a pirate ship.
He was.
Don't tell them my terrible secret. Stop it. But no, that shores
if you get
smell
drunk,
pretty bad,
if
actually.
If you ever get John even a little bit drunk, he starts talking like a pirate. Can't help it.
All Newfoundland people do.
It's my terrible, terrible secret.
Yeah. I think Wind Waker would smell nice. I didn't grow up on the seas, so.
I can say from personal experience, it kind of won't, and at a number of places.
Okay.
Well, you know, you guys are really landlocked now. I live right by the water, and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get bloody noses that often. It's not
dry
here.
That is actually a big plus of not living around here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other games. I'm trying to think what else would smell nice.
Like Cooking Mama is a great answer.
Yeah.
Really good.
I don't know, like Animal Crossing? Like any Kirby game.
Sure.
I could see Kirby games smelling pretty good because of all the candy and food everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just trying, like, everything coming to mind is just something colorful and most likely Nintendo.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I looked at my wall and saw
Viva
Mario
Pinata.
Party.
Yeah, I could see it. Uh-huh.
Question two. Since all three of you hail from Calgary, do you know who Mitchell Claxton is?
Yeah, he's a trance DJ.
Okay, I didn't know that. I thought it was literally a random person from Calgary, and this was a joke.
No, he's a trans DJ.
Okay, do you know him?
Like, personally, no. It's a pretty big city. I know, like, a lot of American people think that Canada is, like, huts of 20 people at most, but No, I don't know who he is. I've listened to some of his stuff, and I don't like trance very much, so I don't regularly do that.
My first time I had heard of him was last week when someone tweeted me saying that I lived in the same town as him.
Is he like an up-and-comer sort of thing, then?
He's with Monster Cat, so, I mean, he's already at least with a label, so.
Right.
And I've been listening to a lot of Monster Cat lately, so it's possible I've heard some of his songs, I just don't recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
What is the next question? It comes from Cody. What is your favorite controller? I really like the new Xbox One controller. Hope Sean's Xbox didn't turn on just now.
That's why I wasn't reading that one.
I had a feeling there was a pause.
I like the original Xbox controller.
Yeah,
the big one.
What? You like the Duke?
I loved it.
The Duke?
I loved it so much.
Is it because you're also like a giant?
I am not, in fact, a giant, but I like big things.
Is it because you're a bear with giant bear hands?
They are bear right now. I'm not wearing anything on them.
But
I will say this is my favorite controller, the original Xbox controller, the S version.
Oh,
okay.
Because the D-pad on this is fantastic. It was the best D-pad on any controller I've seen in a long time. And then
what about the NES?
Microsoft, better than that. And then Microsoft fucked it up with the 360. The only terrible...
Did they get it back with the one?
Halfway.
Okay.
The only thing that's bad about this controller is the placement of the black and white buttons, because they don't match up with these four.
Yeah.
If they had this D-pad with the bumper buttons, this would be the best controller. Hands down.
I really like the PS4 controller a lot.
I think
I like it more than the Xbox One controller.
I can see that. I haven't tested it on a fighting game, which is the big thing I'm waiting to check out. That really dictates whether or not it'd be great. So.
But again, I liked the 360 controller a lot too. So, pretty standard stuff. Okay, Chris writes in with three questions. This first one is mostly for John, since he really doesn't like the game in question. But anyone can answer. With Super Smash Bros. 4 almost released, I'm a little surprised to see that instead of a Smash demo, my Target store still has a demo set up for Yoshi's New Island. If you were in charge and could set up a demo for any 3DS game to replace the Yoshi demo besides Smash Bros., which game would you choose?
Snake
any
Eater.
Other game.
Snake Eater?
Yep.
What? Why?
Because I like that game.
That was a good game.
I like Professor Layton games. I'd never make that a demo station.
Well, then you fail.
No, you just got to pick a game that works as a demo.
I'm trying to think of what even came out since Yoshi's New Island. Because I assume you would want it to be a game that's more recent.
Kirby Triple Deluxe.
Yeah, I'd probably say that. Because I'm looking at my case here and like, Mario Golf is the next recent game I can think of besides like
that would work too. Nothing story based. Those don't work for demos.
Yeah.
A demo kiosk.
Maybe I would have kept Link Between Worlds in there.
I don't think that would have been a great story game. I mean a great demo game either for the same reason.
See, Wayward says Snake Eater, the end boss fight. That would be the best demo.
That'd be the worst demo.
It'd be so good.
Like I think Mario Kart works well for that.
Yeah, but that's like a couple years old at this point.
I'm just saying just in terms of
that was the reason I held off on saying it.
I think Mario Golf works for that, even though I'm not a big fan of that game. No, you have to play like 18 holes.
No, you can just set it to like play one hole mode.
I get okay. I'd probably pick Kirby.
I think Kirby is a solid choice.
Hmm.
Or maybe like Theatrhythm now that the new one's out.
I haven't played that, so I don't know. Question 2. Have any of you purchased any games from the Super Smashing sale on the Nintendo eShop? Thanks to the sale, I bought Mario 3D Land, Mario 3D World, and Pokemon Battle Troisé, and I don't regret a single purchase. I'm just a little bummed that Kirby Triple Deluxe isn't in this week's sale despite Kirby being a featured fighter.
No, because all the games they had on sale I already had.
All the games I wanted I already had, yeah.
No.
And question three, have any of you ever not pre-ordered a game, bought it near its release date, yet still received the pre-order bonus?
Yep.
Example, pre-ordering Saints Row 4 got you the Commander-in-Chief edition. I didn't pre-order it, but I was still given the special edition at no extra cost.
Yep. I have day one edition of, like, Rise, Son of Rome for Xbox One, and I bought it, like, 4 or 5 months after it came out.
To be fair, it might just be one of those things where they're all day one editions.
No, it wasn't. I've seen non-day ones.
Like, I remember when, like, Need for Speed... Was it Hot... I think Most Wanted. It was Hot Pursuit or Most Wanted came out. It was, like, limited edition, but they're all limited edition.
Yeah. Most Wanted. It was Most Wanted.
Okay.
But no, like, yeah, no, I've seen non-day one versions out, because they literally only shipped them out for that one day. That was it.
Working at EB Games, you can get pre-order bonuses without having to pre-order the game.
Mm. Yeah. I walked into an EB Games, and the guy was like, hey, do you want a bunch of free shit? I said, yeah. So he filled my bag full of crap that nobody wanted, which is crap, and I threw it out eventually.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah. All right, that's thanks for checking out his questions.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next question is... Oh, okay. It wasn't bolded. Comet writes in and says, hey, guys, it's Comet Strider X. Hey. Paul, I saw on Twitter that you recently got The Ship on Steam.
Today, yes.
Do you think you might have a new community night game this week?
I think we might. I don't have to be part of community night. You guys can do it. Like,
I'm not free this weekend though, because my family's visiting, so that's why I'm not streaming.
I probably won't be either, but I might be able to. But yeah, sure, maybe.
Comet also says he has an extra gift copy of it if Sean or someone else needs one, because I already have one.
I mean, I guess I don't have it.
The ship is actually pretty fun.
I think I got two copies of it too. So I have it.
I've heard weird things about this.
When you buy the game, it's supposed to give you a second copy.
Okay. I didn't buy it. I was gifted it, but I should just throw it out to the chat or something. Oh, it's not keys anymore. You actually have to gift it in Steam. Never mind.
Lauren writes, hey, Proton John, what are your thoughts on Killer Instinct 2, and should all fighting games do the same?
Oh, Season 2. Okay. Because Killer Instinct 2 is an actual game.
Did I miss Season?
Yep. Well, they've only announced two characters for it so far, right? TJ Combo and Maya?
Doing the same, does he mean, like, Seasons? Is that what he's talking about?
And should all fighting games... I assume.
Okay.
That's the only thing that makes sense.
I would almost say they kind of are doing that when we get... every, like, new adjective Street Fighter game.
I feel like this is just, like, the next state of fighting.
Like, this
games.
Is just calling what it is, as opposed to, like, no, guys, this is Super Turbo Street Fighter. It's like, no, it's, like, Season 3. What are you doing?
Yeah, no, that's pretty much what it is. So, really, it's just Killer Instinct actually just calling it what it is. A season pack full of characters. I don't know. I don't know what all the characters are going to be for season two. I don't know if they've even announced that yet. I think they've announced two, maybe a third. But I like it so far. I like Killer Instinct. I'm just curious because I've heard the gameplay changes a fair amount when season two hits. So I'm curious to see how that translates.
All right. Let's get through these. Christopher writes, congratulations, all three of you have been given co-ownership of a video arcade.
Yes!
What three arcade games would you each put into it? Two caveats. One,
okay.
Not Marvel versus Capcom 2. It's assumed to be there already.
Why is it assumed? Okay.
Because every arcade had that game.
Okay.
And then the second is no repeats or multiples. We can't have an arcade that has 9 crazy taxi machines.
Sure.
And I guess plus
that sounds like a challenge to me.
Two.
House of the Dead.
It has 9 crazy taxi machines and a Marvel versus Capcom 2 cabinet. Like, what a weird video arcade.
It'd be great.
It'd be so good.
House of the Dead goes in there instantly.
Can I just...
Soul Calibur 1.
Can I cheat and say a Neo Geo MVS?
No, like, I was going to say, like, any Neo Geo game. So, yes, that's perfectly great right there.
Yeah. I'm going to say an MVS counts as one cabinet. That's it.
That is cheating.
Whitewater pinball table.
Pinball tables would be good. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we could use pinball table.
I'm gonna say black hole if we're talking pinball.
Let's put in a solid Metal Slug game in there.
Metal Slug, yeah, for sure.
Can I have the Simpsons arcade game? No, wait, I changed that. I want the TMNT 1989 arcade game.
You don't want Turtles in Time? You want 89?
Yeah.
I want the Simpsons arcade game in there.
But we already have TMNT. It's like the same game.
I know. But the Simpsons and Turtles, you have to have both. Okay. Like, just choosing three is easy.
I picked my three. I got my three.
I've easily gotten my three.
All right, I'm trying to think of the other two. I need a fighting game.
We need a driving game, probably.
We already have Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Well, we need a good fighting game.
Oh. Well, okay.
I'm kind of with him.
I'm debating just saying, like, if we're going to try to get money put in, the current Street Fighter. Or just being like, let's throw in, King of Fighters.
That new Persona thing with the crazy title.
Oh, Ultimax?
Yeah, Silent Scope, DDR. There's so many good things.
Oh man, DDR,
yep. Dude. We need Police 911 in there.
It could, Police 911 has to go in. Oh my god, yes.
No, we need the sequel though. Where the one where you can turn the detective into a robot.
I didn't know this existed.
Dramania.
You didn't know the sequel existed?
No, I haven't seen it.
It was in the cove when I started going to university.
I never went to that university.
Well, I mean, I figured you went to the arcade there because it was open to everyone.
No.
Okay,
I didn't go up in
those
parts.
Three of the really, weird rhythm arcade machines I saw in Japan.
Yeah.
I want a Mr. Driller machine just because I want to say I own a Mr. Driller machine.
Don't you want an Asteroids machine?
I already own an Asteroids machine, yes.
Yeah, you own it because it's your favorite arcade cabinet, so you clearly want it in your...
Track and field. Done.
I want it in a contest.
Okay, I think we've expanded that. Andrew writes...
Sinistar. Sorry.
Oh, man, that G.I. Joe game. That G.I. Joe game.
I want Tempest in there. Tempest 2000.
I want that four-player G.I. Joe shooter.
Oh, my
Joust
God,
is
yes.
Pretty good.
Joust is really good, actually, yeah.
The F-Zero racing game for arcades.
Does it come with, a seat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ponyo?
I want,
Or whatever that was. Was that it? The one with the pigs? The one Nathan was obsessed with. He would
Pong? No, not Pongo.
He would put, our kids through college alone if we had that in there, so.
I don't know what this is.
I know what you're talking about, because it was in game room and he kept obsessing with it. Fuck, I'm actually going to look that up. That's
yeah, I'm looking it up too.
Jungler?
No.
What is the game you guys are talking about?
Amnesia, a Machine for Pigs. That is not it.
That's not it at all. But it kind of is at the same time. Puyan.
Puyan.
Puyan is it.
Okay.
Yep.
Andrew writes, do you prefer it when franchises come out with a new game every year, like Skylanders and such, or when they only come out with one or two games per console, like pretty much every Nintendo franchise? Probably the latter.
It depends on how good the series is.
It depends what the franchise is, yeah.
There's something really nice about knowing, hey, this is like Professor Layton time. I'm going to get, like every October.
Yeah.
For the most part, Professor Layton's come out. I'm gonna get warm in my bed while it's snowing out. Not anymore here.
Yeah.
But before, I'm gonna play some Professor Layton. I really like that.
Yeah. Or Remembrance Day, I'm going to remember veterans by killing a bunch of people in Call of Duty and then saying I did things to their mother.
Yeah.
Yearly traditions.
Right.
Okay. What?
November 11th to 14th every year. There's a Call of Duty.
Yeah. I think there's another shooter coming out that day, too, like Battlefield.
Great. Sure, why not?
Or hey, did you guys see that crazy Madden commercial from a few weeks back?
No. Mm-hmm.
Because it's Madden season, yo.
That commercial was very strange.
Dave Franco. That guy's house is on fire. But he don't care because it's Madden season.
I have to see this.
Let it burn.
You haven't seen this?
I haven't.
Oh my god, you haven't seen this? This is insane. It's so weird. It's like Swery 65.
It's like trying to be Old Spice commercial weird, but goes farther.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it's an actual thing for Madden with Dave Franco.
I'll look it up after.
Your favorite of the Franco brothers.
Yeah. sure.
Pino Graham writes in, has a game community ever turned you away from a game in the series?
Yes.
Dota 2.
Sonic. just Sonic.
Yeah.
Oh yep. My god, okay. Yes. I guess
Smash Bros a bit. Like, I like Smash Bros. I wish everyone else liked it a bit less.
Okay.
I don't know. That hasn't hit me, but I really like Smash Bros, so.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone should just calm down a little bit.
Call of Duty. MOBAs in general, even though I'm part of that community now, so whatever.
Michael Jacobs writes, what do you guys do to help yourself wait for a game that you are going crazy waiting for?
I don't go crazy waiting.
Play other games.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, I play other games that I probably am behind on.
Yeah.
And I need to finish before this crazy new game comes out. It's too many games.
Yep. No use in getting crazy waiting. There's another game waiting for you already. So.
Marshmallow writes, what is your favorite weapon in video games that is neither a gun or a sword?
I always prefer, like, hammers. I like giant battle hammers and stuff like that.
I never like
blunt
objects. The camera obscura.
That's a good answer. Yeah. Some Fatal Frame up in here.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm trying to think.
It's literally a camera.
It's literally a camera, but, I mean, you're only fighting ghosts, so why not?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so like a vacuum?
Yes, shovel. So Sunny the Cheetah in the chat, Shovel Knight, shovel. That's a great weapon. They let you into town because they don't even think it's a weapon. It's just a shovel.
That's true. Yeah. Clearly it can't be a weapon. Yeah. Trying to think of anything.
Someone in the chat brings up a good point. What if it's a gun sword?
It's like double disqualified. I saw that too. I just didn't want to read his name.
What if it's a sword whip?
Actually, yeah, the whips in like the Vampire Killer.
Spart says the fat stacks in Payday 2.
The fat stacks in Payday 2 are the worst. They don't even break the glass right away. It's so bad.
What is this?
It's a wad of cash that you use as a weapon.
Oh, okay. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Quizon ninjas.
Queso ninjas.
Yeah,
cheese ninjas.
Queso ninjas.
Yep.
Queso ninjas. My question is this, John. Hey, John, what supervillain need to retire?
It's actually written like that. I love it.
Hey, John, what supervillain need to retire? I think retire need to be. I was gonna say Joker, but no, I don't want that to ever retire.
Yeah, you know, that most recent Joker arc in Batman was great.
Oh man, that's a terrible villain. Here's the problem: a lot of the villains that I think of are villains that everyone really likes and doesn't want to retire.
Big Boss, he's pretty old.
Except for all this time traveling we keep doing in Metal Gear.
He's a villain? Since when is he a villain?
It depends which game you're playing, really.
More or less. And then things got really convoluted around 4.
Actually, the villain in like all the Metal Gears is government?
Yeah,
I think we should get rid of government. Government should retire.
With a question mark at the end, because they're kind of the villain, but they're not, because they're just dumb. Like, they're doing stuff that's evil.
It was you all along?
No, not quite.
We were the government. We are, in fact, the government. Top-down perspective.
I was tempted to say Bowser, but I think I kind of like how his personality's kind of turned into over the years.
What about Robotnik? He could probably retire, use a vacation.
Just like anything Sonic related.
Should probably retire.
I like the idea of Robotnik still being in a game, but actually having zero to do with the plot. He's just kind of there on vacation the whole time.
That would be great, because it would just be what Sonic was meant to do, and that's running, and not shitty platforming and water levels.
What about Shadow the Hedgehog? But he's awesome, because he's like a dark hedgehog that uses guns.
He's not even dark, though. He's like an anti-hero, but it depends. Like, it's so dumb. Fuck, that game is so dumb.
Yeah, I played that last night.
Hyper Shadow.
You what?
That it came up on Fortune Cookie last night on stream.
Was that the first time you ever played it?
Yes.
That game is fucking terrible.
Oh, that game is fucking terrible.
I've like beaten that game twice.
Why?
I had it on the GameCube and I played through it twice.
Okay, we found out last night that the highest rated version of the game, and apparently the best one to play it on, is the GameCube version. I played the PS2, which was apparently
the worst.
That's
the one I have too. I bought
it
for $1.
They're like the exact same thing.
I probably spent about the same.
Yeah.
And that kind of like weird, like shitty metal soundtrack.
Dude, that was funny. I was cracking up laughing at the opening cutscene of that game.
Oh, it just, he has guns. Like, oh, that game's, you're riding a motorcycle.
That game got a 45 on the PS2 and a 52 on the GameCube.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
those 7 points make a difference.
I guess so.
Tenneke writes, last question. Which Pokemon name do you think least matches its design? Basically, if someone were to draw a Pokemon based on its name and no prior knowledge, what do you think would be the most different from the actual Pokemon?
Ditto.
Really?
Don't think of what Ditto looks like and draw it.
Jinx.
Well, okay. I guess.
Jinx, yes.
Jinx is pretty good, yeah.
There actually, now that you bring this up, I'm pretty sure there actually was this on Tumblr I saw. There was an image where someone got their like 8-year-old like nephew or something that had never seen it draw the first 50 Pokemon, and there are some that are scarily accurate and some that are just terrible. So you could look that up, I guess.
Like, for the most part, like, what is a Pikachu? That's not a real thing.
Right.
You wouldn't guess, like, an electric mouse. Charmander you could probably get pretty easily. Squirtle you could probably get pretty easily. I doubt you could get Bulbasaur. Maybe you'd get the bulb part. I doubt it. Jinx is a pretty, yeah, that is nothing like that weird looking thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Dunsparce? I don't know.
Okay, sure. I'd say most of them.
Yeah, there's
like,
a
they're
good
just weird.
Number.
They're just weird names. Faroki? What? What's that fox thing called again?
A Fennekin.
Yeah, what is Fennekin? Mm. Like, they're just like names now. Before, they were almost like verbs, kind of.
More or less describe what they were, yeah.
If people want to write in for next week, topdownperspective@gmail.com, @TDPpodcast on Twitter, or the Facebook group, search Top Down Perspective. What are our games of the week?
Probably going to go with Gauntlet.
Oh, shit. Wasteland 2.
Forza Horizon 2.
Cool.
Nice.
Gonna do it. Oh, people are saying a fennec is a type of fox. Well, why would I know that? Who knows that?
I thought you knew all about what? Foxes. Thought that was your thing.
Yeah. Foxes? Like, I'm just really good about foxes. Yeah.
Sean yep. Fox Booker.
Fennekin looks like a fennec fox. What? Why does anyone know this? Actually, a fennec is a type of fox with very large ears. So Fennekin is probably based on that. Yeah, I guess so. Great.
Wow, someone is angry.
Oh, no, man, just, the salt.
Oh,
holy
so
shit.
Much salt right now.
Ugh.
We'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Yeah, see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in.
We're offline.